You cannot go home tonight, okay? So if you're under 20, take good notes. I have an easy lesson for you tonight. Turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, just one verse. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. While you're turning there, where it says introduction there after you write your name and date, that should read Ephesians 5:16, not 5:18. 5:18 is a terrific verse, but the verse that tells us to redeem the time is Ephesians 5 and verse 16. And how do we do that? How do we apply redeeming the time? Well, as we go through life, we watch and we look and we see and we look for opportunities to witness the love of God in our life so we can share it with others. And we have to place some value on that time. Your employer pays you $100 an hour to work, and you're, if you work 40 hours, that's $4,000, okay, or whatever it comes to. But time is valuable, and we all have the same amount. 168 hours, I believe, in a week. And, you know, if we were to tithe 168 hours, that means we owe the Lord 16.8 hours. Think about that way, if you tithe the time. The Lord is very interested in the time you and I have, whether it's 7 years and we die young, 17 and we die in a car accident, or 37 or 57 or 87 or 97. He knows the beginning from the end, but he says your time is valuable. You need to redeem it and make good use of it. So in the process of you and I going through this life, we want to, here's our title, we want to see the lost people as Jesus sees them. Now, some of you were in our last Primetimer session, and back then we were in Luke 7, where we talked about what Jesus sees and what he feels and what he speaks and what he acts and how he impacts. And he does all that because he loves people. He does all that because he has compassion. And tonight we want to look through the eyes of Jesus, and we want to see how he sees. How does Jesus see the people that he runs into through us? How does he see them? And we know how he saw people in the New Testament because we can read those miracles and we can read those stories. But today he's living in us and through us, and he's using us to have an effect on other people. And hopefully that's a good effect. So tonight we're going to look at the five B's. They all start with the letter B. If you listen to the verse real careful, you'll get three of them. But don't write them in yet, because you might put the word in the wrong place. We're taught in the seminary that the five B's of preaching are be brief, brother. Be brief. That's the five B's of preaching. Be brief, brother. Be brief. Well, we're not going to give you that tonight, but this will be brief because it's just one verse. But there's a ton of meat in this one verse, and I hope it's helpful to you, okay? Let me start by reading Luke 4, and you follow along carefully, and you can stay right planted on that verse, because that's what we're going to be looking at, and we're going to find some truths, five truths to consider regarding the lost and what to look for when we look at them, when we analyze them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The me there is Jesus, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And I believe you'll find that passage back in the book of Isaiah as well. But this is the mission of Jesus, and it needs to be part and parcel of our mission as we reach out to others. Let me pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you tonight for those that made it out. Thank you for your goodness to us, your patience with us. Thank you for the leadership of your Holy Spirit as we look at Scripture, as we look at Holy Writ. And Lord, it would be a shame if we went home not learning something that we can share with others or that we can practice in our own lives. So help us, old preacher, say that which is helpful and useful and wise, and leave out some of those things that are probably insignificant and not of no value. But Lord, all of us, including me and Pastor Yoder and others, we want to do better. And we know that by looking to your word and leaning on the help of your Holy Spirit, you'll help us in these areas. So help us tonight to see people around us as you see people, fellow classmates, fellow workers, neighbors. Lord, help us to get a vision for the lost, the kind of vision you had. And then, Lord, help us to do something with that. Well, thank you in your name. Amen. Now, if you want to go way down to the bottom of your paper and just write down this text, Proverbs 29:18. Anybody know what Proverbs 29:18 says from memory? I'll tell you a little story. There was a country church that was doing quite well. And one of their young people, during an evangelistic meeting, surrendered to become a missionary on a foreign land. And so after he graduated from high school, he went to Bible college, became a missionary, went overseas to this foreign land, and he served the Lord for many, many years. And after several years of serving overseas, he came back to the U.S. to visit the church that he was so fond of, a little country church someplace in probably the Midwest, who knows. So he drives out to this little old country church where he grew up, learning all those kids' songs and learning the Ten Commandments and learning how to sing God's praises. And when he got to the church, he found that it was closed. And it was falling apart. And on the front door, there was a board tacked this way so burglars wouldn't come in and people who wrecked property wouldn't come in. And there were cobwebs all over, and there was mud and dirt all over, and pigeon nests all over the church, and broken windows. And he thought, what has happened? What has happened to my church? And he finally decided to look inside the church, so he took one of the boards off and pushed the door open. And inside the church, when he was a little kid, there was a banner on the front of the church that covered the whole front of the church. And it was Proverbs 29:18. That was the verse. And when he was a kid, here's what the verse said. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's what it said when he was a kid. But now when he looked at the sign, the W had fallen off, the first word. And the sign read, here there is no vision, and the people perish. And you and I need to have a vision. We need to pray about it. Lord, give me a burden for my neighbors and my friends and my coworkers. Help me to see what you see in their lives. And hopefully tonight's lesson will help you a little bit in that area. These are the words of Christ. Let me give them to you. The first one, Jesus sees them bankrupt. They're bankrupt. And we should too. In that verse, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the bankrupt, okay? Because they are spiritually destitute. They don't have much. Now the poor, the real word for poor means absolutely poverty stricken. Not like a chapter 12 situation in the U.S. Do you realize that in most cases, if you filed a Chapter 12, you're allowed to keep one house, one nice car, most of your furniture, most of your belongings, and some of your farm equipment? That's just part of it. But these people didn't even have that much. They were in dire poverty. They had nothing. And that's the kind of people the Lord was looking for. People that were bankrupt and in poverty. I visited the county jail in Park Rapids, Minnesota, and as I went in, I talked to the jailers and the dispatchers. You have to get through them in order to go to the cells. And when I walked through there, I noticed there was only one or two people incarcerated this particular night. And on the way out, I said, well, Mr. Jailer, I said, What do you do when you don't have any customers, when you don't have any tenants in the jail cell? Because, you know, you guys got to, you know, you got to have some inventory. You got to have some inmates in order to make money. He said, well, he says, we just take that clipboard over there and we go catch us a couple more. And I said, really, you have a clipboard? He said, yes. And I said, can I see it? And he said, sure. So I looked at this clipboard, and here were the name of 15, maybe 20 people from the Park Rapids area that they could go out and pick up and put in jail. And then on the side of this, they had their name and their address and their phone number. And next to that, they had the charge or the violation that they were guilty of, the law that they were guilty of breaking. And you know what the number one broken law was of all those inmates they could have gone to pick up? You know what it was? Bad debts, bad checks. They had a whole list of people that had written bad checks over the amount of $300 that they could just go round up and throw in jail for not paying their bills. And poor people do that, you know. When you don't have any money, sometimes you end up stealing. And when you end up stealing, you end up in jail. But the Lord looks for people that are poor, people that are destitute, people that are in need of the basics, food, shelter, clothing, and a few extra dollars. So we should look for people that are bankrupt. Secondly, we should look for people that are broken. That's what Jesus did. Jesus sees them not only bankrupt and spiritually destitute, he sees them broken and emotionally shattered. Those are your two words for Roman numeral 2 there. If you go back to the verse, the Lord hath anointed, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The broken. There's your second word that starts with the letter B. The brokenhearted. We should too. Why? Because they are emotionally shattered. Every church I've been in, that's been six of them. You say, well, why didn't you last longer? And, well, I ran out of funny stories. And so after a couple years, when I ran out of funny stories, they ran me out of town. So I ended up in several churches. Anyway, that's not what really happened. But in every church, we had somebody who was emotionally shattered. You young people would call them a crybaby. And I'm talking about adults now that cannot stop crying. They're emotionally brokenhearted. They're emotionally shattered. And I can think of a couple within 10 miles of where we're sitting that are emotionally shattered. Those are the kind of people the Lord likes to help. Remember, the church, for the most part, should be a hospital. And we're like a hospital. We're here to help people. And we should be like a restaurant. We're here to feed people. And we feed them God's word. But the kind of people that we invite into God's presence and the kind of people that we share the gospel with are people that are brokenhearted. They're bankrupt and broke, and they're brokenhearted. And because of that, their emotions are shot. And they don't know where to turn. And you and I can point them to Christ and try to give them some help. Jesus not only saw them as bankrupt and broken, but thirdly, he sees them as bound. And we should too. They are bound because they are morally conquered. If you keep reading in the verse, after he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Okay? They are bound. They are captive. These are the kind of people that have high ideals but weak wills. And it's sad for me as a preacher to say that I have in my mind a list of at least a dozen pastors who have failed morally. They didn't have the will to live right and make good choices, and so they ended up in sin. They lost their ministry, and some of them are still incarcerated today. That's the kind of people the Lord wants to help. People that have lost their straight walk because of immorality. because of things they shouldn't have fallen for. But the devil's hooks are real. And when they get in you, they pull hard. And we have to be wise, and we have to be in God's word and on our knees to prevent that stuff from happening in our own lives. Because, you know, Luke wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to people like you and me. We forget sometimes the Bible wasn't written for lost people fundamentally. It was written for saved people so that we might behave and get them into God's word. This is sometimes it's true that believers are bankrupt. And believers are broken. And some believers are bound. And they've been taken captive by something that never should have got a hold of them. They forgot to lay aside every weight that so easily beset them. And they lost their ministries because of it. I can think of one preacher who was my hero for several years, only to find out that he wasn't a hero. Well, he was in public, but in private he was a zero. And he ended up with a real short career because of his choices. And the Lord is interested in helping people that are held captive. He's into delivering them from their addictions. Speaking of addictions, there's only one addiction. The word addiction is only mentioned once in your King James Bible. And you know what it is that you and I are to be addicted to? We're to be addicted to God's word and worship. That's what we're to be addicted to. We're to be addicted to the Bible. And people today, when they say they have an addiction, it's usually not the Bible. It's usually drugs or alcohol or cell phones or something like that. Be careful so that you're not bound as well. So we have the bankrupt, the broken, the bound. And now, if you've been following along here, you should be able to guess the next word. It's blind. Roman numeral 4, the blind. Jesus sees them as blind people. The devil hath blinded their eyes, and we should see their blindness. They are blind because they are intellectually groping. They know what evil is, but because of their blindness, they can't see it. They don't have the vision they need to have. I know more than one intellectually lost person who wants nothing to do with Jesus because they're too smart. They're blind. They could tell you how many gallons of gas it would take to get in a rocket and go from here to the moon, but they don't know Romans 3:10 or Romans 3:23 or Romans 5:8 or Romans 5:12. They have no time for the Lord. They're too intellectually stuck to need Jesus. Some of the hardest people to lead to the Lord are the wealthy and the intelligent. I mean, who needs God if you have everything? And who needs God if you know everything? And that's the kind of people the Lord is looking for. He didn't save a lot of really successful people, but he did some. I mean, there are some millionaires and there are some intellectual college professors that still want to know about Jesus. They're out there. And they're hard to find, but the Lord will direct you to them. So Jesus sees people as being bankrupt, broken, bound, blind, because they are intellectually groping. They're looking for answers and can't find them in their humanism, in their intellect. And then finally, at the very end of verse 18, he wants to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus sees them as bruised. By bruised, we mean they are crushed and they are broken in pieces. And we should see all around us people who are bruised. They are bruised because they are mortally wounded. Lynn and I, we were rehearsing this message, and I asked her for help with the names of four people that we knew personally that had taken their lives in suicide. They died. And all of them were under 50. Two of them were under 40. And one of them was barely 14. And they didn't get the right help from the right people at the right time and the right place. And so they felt useless. And because they felt useless, they chose to end their own life. And that's heartbreaking. I was sharing with a lady just yesterday that one of the saddest situations I've had to deal with is a dear, sweet lady, a Jewish lady from Duluth. She's had 3 of her children commit suicide. And all 3 of them were adults. They were successful parents in the eyes of the world, but they were just crushed and bruised and hurting on the inside. And so she buried 1 adult child, and then another adult child, and then a 3rd. And I said, how in the world did you keep your sanity? And she said, if it weren't for the Lord, and focusing on the Lord, she says, I'd go crazy. But there's a lot of people out there hurting. There's a lot of people on the edge. Somebody from this church just told me this week, it was a young person, and he said the leading cause of death amongst teenagers is suicide. And that was scary to hear. That's because they're hurting. They're bruised. You know, a bruise on the outside, you know, you hurt your elbow or your arm, that'll heal in a few days. But a bruise of the heart, that's takes a little longer, and that hurts a little more. And Jesus had compassion for these people. And you and I ought to have compassion for these people. If we're going to live for the Lord and serve the Lord and have a proper vision, we need to look out into the community of Brookings and surrounding communities for the bankrupt, the broken, the bound, and the blind, and the bruised. And we need to do what we can to give them the good news of the gospel, to give them the help of God's word, to give them encouragement for their soul. And that's my challenge for tonight. We would close and sing, Open Mine Eyes That I Might See.